Well, we're starting a new series this week. It's called Kingdom, the Kingdom. And this is probably Jesus' favorite topic throughout Scripture, particularly in the book of Matthew. We see this word, the Kingdom, come up over and over and over in this new concept that Jesus was starting to talk about. And Kingdom was not a new word, but the concept that Jesus was using for Kingdom was a new concept, a new way of talking about it. And He used all sorts of different things. When we look at the Kingdom, if you're to read through your Bible and you're new to Christianity and you look at Kingdom, you're probably not really going to know what kingdom is, because he talks about all these stories and all these different ideas and uses it in a number of different ways. He says the kingdom is received, it's entered, it's given, it's seen, it's coming, it's here, it's near. And so the kingdom is something that's coming, but it's also here. The kingdom is something that's a concept, but it's also a person. The kingdom is this big, massive thing that Jesus came and brought and said, I want to talk to you about this thing called the kingdom. So since He thought it was so important, we've decided that we're going to make it important as well. For the next few weeks, we're going to break it down. What was He actually talking about? What was this kingdom, and what does that mean for us? How are we supposed to live our lives because of this kingdom? And if we are kingdom people, then what does that mean for how we live and how we carry out our day-to-day life and how we see the neighbors across the street and how we see the coworkers that sometimes drive us crazy and how we see our family and how we see the people who don't even like us? What does the kingdom say about those things? But let's read a couple scriptures before we get too far. Matthew 3, 1 to 2. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Matthew 4:17, one chapter later. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This was the original sort of, this is where it all started. There's some words of kingdom in the Old Testament, but this is kind of where the momentum started, that phrase, repent. The kingdom of heaven is near. I was one time, as the youth pastor, I was one time at a conference with a whole bunch of students. A big conference, I don't know how many people were there, maybe 3,000 people were there. And we had heard a number of speakers, and it was good. The conference was going well. They brought all sorts of different speakers in. And this one shows up this one day. And all the kids have been listening to other people. It's been going pretty well so far. And one preacher shows up and he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And that's where he starts. And if you're new to church, you know that would have been weird for those youth. Because this sounds weird to you right now. But he comes up and he moves over to this side of the stage. He hasn't said another word yet. He says, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is near. Now people will start snickering with each other, talking like, what is the kingdom of heaven? And so then he gets to the middle, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Now everyone's talking. All the kids, no one's listening, no one's hearing what he's saying. No one would hear him. He says, quiet, quiet. Now he's mad, so he's like, repent for the kingdom. Now he's mad. Now he's going to use the kingdom against talking in church. And so he's like, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. And I'm sitting there awkwardly trying to quiet down my kids. No. And they're just talking. They just won't hear the message that he's saying. Sometimes when we speak truth, sometimes the truth in our life, we need to still figure out how to communicate it so it's effective. Just because something's true doesn't mean that someone will hear you. Just because you have something true in your life and you say, the Bible says so, so now I'm going to push it onto you, doesn't mean that people are necessarily going to hear. It doesn't always happen that way. Today we want to talk about how did Jesus communicate the kingdom. Before we talk about what the kingdom is, how did Jesus communicate it? This is the most important thing for Jesus to talk about. One of the key elements of his ministry, he talked about the kingdom. But how did he talk about it? What did he say? When he said what he was saying, how did he say it? Who did he say it to? We're going to look at that. We had a guy in Victoria who would stand often at this one corner with a sign, and it usually had some scripture, and he would yell at cars saying, you're going to hell. It was really well received. You know, people wave, thank you so much, that's very nice, right? And he's got this sign up, and he just would take his stand all the time. He'd spin the sign, and it would talk about all these natural disasters and all these terrible things and all this stuff that was going to happen, and then he'd have a scripture on top of it, and he'd say, the Bible says it's all over, and you're going... And so he'd just stand there like that, and anyone who'd go and talk to him, he couldn't communicate. He couldn't talk well. He wouldn't be able to share what he was thinking about well. He just wanted to have this sign and give all of this doom and gloom to everyone who walked by. No one heard that message. No one said, I need to know what that guy's talking about. Because when they did, he'd just yell at them. He was just so ferocious in the way that he dealt with things. Maybe not ferocious. That might be a bit strong. But he just couldn't get himself to recognize that sometimes even though something's true, doesn't mean that people will hear you. So we're going to talk about how Jesus handled that. Why did he say the things that he said, and how did he say them? People want to hear a message. I want to see lives changed. I want to see people know the kingdom and know Jesus Christ and know that he has a plan for them and know that he has potential beyond what they can see and know that he has dreams outside of what they can achieve on their own and know that he has an eternity that's much brighter than what they would see otherwise or what they would experience otherwise. Know that he has great things for them. I want to see people's lives changed by Jesus Christ, but that's not going to happen by us just going and yelling at people. It's not going to happen by us just going and saying, we have a message, so hear it. I think probably if we were to actually think about it, we would consider the message more important for the message to be heard than it to be said. Wouldn't you think so? I think it's more important that the message is heard than it be said. I don't think when I get to heaven, I say, Jesus, I said the message a lot, but no one heard. There is going to be some of that. Some people don't want to hear, but I want to do everything in my power, whatever I can, and in however creative a way I can, I want to allow the message to be heard by people. Because Jesus is going to change lives. Jesus is the one who does it. I'm not the one who worries about all the results, but I am the one who's got this message in me about the kingdom and about Jesus and about life and about goodness and about what he has to offer. I have that in me, and I want to figure out how to deliver it in a way that it's actually going to be heard and lives are actually going to be changed. I read a book. It's one of the only books I've read on preaching, actually. Some of you are like, you should read a few more, but... I read one book for sure, at least. Maybe some chapters as well, some other ones. But no, it's called Communicating for a Change. It's by Andy Stanley. And he talks about this concept where people have shifted. It used to be that people would talk about the Bible to people. And so he said, preachers would talk about the Bible to people. And the priority was Bible and then to people. So he said, that was good. So that meant exegetically just sort of looking through Scripture, reading out, helping people understand what Scripture said. Then there was this switch and people started talking to people about the Bible. And this doesn't sound a whole lot different, but the priority is on people then. And so that's when people started sort of topically looking at Scripture or looking at people and saying, okay, I think there's an answer for that in Scripture. And they'd come to Scripture and build an answer for people and help them see how Scripture lines up with their life. And Andy Stanley said, okay, both of those are fine. Both of those are good. But his book's called Communicating for a Change. So he said, what I want to do when I communicate Scripture and talk to people is I want people's lives to be changed. So I communicate for life change. I communicate so people will actually know the one who sets them free. So people will actually see things in a new way. This kingdom is a different kind of dimension. And we get to communicate in a way that someone might actually see it and be born again. Let's look at how Jesus communicated that. First of all, there's four C's here, which makes it easy for your notes and easy for you to remember, hopefully. First of all, compassionately. Jesus communicated the kingdom compassionately. Matthew 9:35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, and because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I love how compassion turns the kingdom into good news. Sometimes when people hear our message about the gospel, it doesn't sound like good news to them. Sometimes we come and pick up on the worst thing and say, here's where your life is completely wrong. So let's focus on that. But hey, there is something over here. Jesus shows up and says, let me heal all your sick. Let me take care of all the wrong. Let me handle some things. Let me be around you because I care about you. I love you. I want to see the best for you. And also, there's hope because it's not just about healing now. There's a healing for eternity. And there's life for eternity. And it's not just about being friends with me now, but about being friends with me forever. I will walk with you forever and ever. And this just became the best news for everyone. Everyone all of a sudden started saying, we like this guy. And we like what he does for us. And we like how he makes us feel. And we like how he speaks potential into us. And speaks life into us. And speaks about who we could be. And he heals our sick. And then he says, we can do this forever? That is good news. That is good news. Sometimes as Christians, we think the good news is, hey, everything's bad, but there's something over here. How about there's something so good that's come into this world? His name is Jesus Christ, and He loves you. With all that He is, He loves you. In fact, He gave up His life so that you would know it. That is good news. And people at that point don't say, yeah, but... When they really feel that, they don't say, yeah, but I like the other life. I like doing all these bad things. We don't usually need to correct a lot of that. In fact, Jesus didn't always correct His disciples. They'd show up to Him and say, Jesus, what do we need to do about this? How do we need to live here? But, let me tell you a story. Oh, let's talk about this illustration. Oh, I've got a good one here. Let's bat that around. Sometimes they didn't even know what He was talking about. Which gives me hope as a preacher. First one is compassionately. Secondly, creatively. Matthew 18:23. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? I like this question. Peter's like, please say zero. Up to seven times, he asks. I think Peter's had a conversation before about this, probably. He's been chatting with John. John's like, I know I did something wrong, but you need to forgive me. Come on, how many times, John? Like, I've already forgiven you twice. John's like, you have to forgive me seven times. And Peter's like, I'm going to talk to Jesus. I'm going to ask Jesus about this. Ask Jesus, let's just throw out a number. Up to seven times, Jesus, really? Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times. And Peter's like, whew, thank you, Lord, probably two. But 77 times. In fact, some translations say 70 times, seven times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king. Jesus starts telling a story. Who wanted to settle accounts with his servant? Jesus tells this big elaborate story at this point, which I won't tell you too much about because we might use it later on in the series. But basically, it's funny that Peter comes up to Jesus and says, Jesus, I just want you to tell me the answer on something. And Jesus says, yeah, there's a great story that I'll tell you about that. The story is all about this rich guy, this powerful person, and this servant who comes in and says, hey, I owe you all this money. Can you give me some time? And the rich person says, actually, I'll just forgive all your debts. And the guy goes, yes, that's great. Thank you. And leaves, walks out into the courtyard, and there's this other person there who owes this person money. Says, listen, I owe you some money. Can you give me some time? Says, no chance. Jesus says to Peter, does that make sense, Peter? Would that make sense? Would that kind of system work for us? You know what I'm about, Peter. You know the people I hang around. You know how I care for people. You know what I do. You remember what I did for that prostitute. You remember what I did for that woman caught in adultery. You remember what I did for that tax collector. Now, I've forgiven a lot of things, and you've seen me forgive a lot of things, Peter. Now, how do you think I'm going to respond to this? And he could have just said, Peter, don't ever stop forgiving. You just need to forgive. It says it 70 times, seven times. But he says, I'm going to tell you a story, Peter. What sense does it make to you now for that person who's been forgiven of everything to now go and not forgive anyone? The story starts to make sense to him. He communicates compassionately. He communicates creatively. Next one, he communicates concisely. I'm learning this one as we go. Matthew 13:44-46. The kingdom of heaven, I just want you to see this. He tells two stories in three verses. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Story one. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Jesus tells the two pictures of the kingdom in three verses. That probably took us 30 seconds. Imagine that. Sometimes when we think that we're going to talk to someone about our faith or about Jesus or about the kingdom, say, okay, I better put together a major sermon and I better make sure I have all of my theological things lined up and doctrinally I better know exactly what I'm supposed to say, and we're definitely going to have treats and coffee and we're going to need to have all of the good things. I got to put on the right music and I've got to, you know, do all the things. Is my keyboardist ready for the altar call? Okay. You know, all of these things we think. We imagine what it must look like. If I'm going to talk about Jesus or the kingdom to someone, I better get it all organized and get it all figured out. And Jesus says, oh yeah, sure, we're talking about the kingdom, okay, it's like hidden treasure and pearls. And people are like, well, that's pretty cool. I get it. That doesn't take long. I get it. I just understand. I don't know if you know, but in the culture that we're in right now, people don't have a great attention span. Everyone looks up from their phone. Well, what are you talking about? I don't understand. I see you playing Tetris up there, you know. People just playing on their phones even while I'm talking, or all sleeping and things like, okay, has he talked long enough yet or what? Preaching's not always the best way. Me getting up here is not always the best way to see people come to know Jesus. Sometimes it's you just saying a very small thing to your coworker. Sometimes it's you just offering a little story, a little encouragement, a little concise little picture of the kingdom to someone who hurt you, or someone who loves you, or someone who's confused, or someone who's walking through a challenging time. Sometimes we don't want to get too close to people who are going through challenging times because we say, I don't know what to say. And Jesus is like, oh, sometimes it's just this big of something to say. Sometimes it's one word. Sometimes it's a tiny encouragement. Sometimes it's a tiny thing. The kingdom can be communicated concisely in the right circumstances. It's just about relationships. It's about caring. It's about knowing who people are. About knowing what they need. Some people aren't going to respond when you have a big, long sermon. Sometimes you have a hard time getting friends to church because they say, no, that guy's going to talk too long. So talk to them briefly out there. And then bring them in here so I can talk long to them. Jesus communicated compassionately, creatively, concisely. And he communicated consistently. Why do you think he talked about the kingdom so much? A lot of the time it's just to his disciples. Like, well, shouldn't it just be one time? You know, okay. The kingdom of God is this. One reason I think he communicated so much about it is because it's a difficult concept for people to understand. Particularly, we'll get there for Nicodemus, who's trying to understand this kingdom. And Jesus says, well, the kingdom, it's you can't see it with your fleshly eyes. You need to be born again. You need to be born of the Spirit. And so there's that. But also just people trying to understand, okay, I'm living a new life, and I'm trying to understand this kingdom and trying to figure it out. And so Jesus keeps coming back, more stories, more illustrations, more things, more compassion, more all of this stuff, trying to help them with it. But the other thing, I think the other reason that he does it, he just wants them to know what he's prioritizing. How often when you're at home with your kids do you bring situations back to the kingdom? Back to the idea of your Christianity. There's this book called The Storybook Bible. Do anyone read it to their kids? No. Okay. Okay, we got one. Well, you should. You should read it to yourself even, actually. There's this Bible that we read to our kids, and they love it, and I love it too. It takes all of the stories of the Bible and ties them back into Jesus so simply. I'm a simple kind of learner. I like learning simply. It just keeps bringing it back, like all the story of Noah, it comes back. The story of David, it comes back. The story of all of these things, it just comes back. At the end, it's just this little tie-in. And I think some people would look at that and say, well, why do you have to talk about the gospel all the time? Why do you have to talk about Jesus all the time? Why do you have to talk about the kingdom all the time? Because eventually, you might get it. If I consistently come back there, maybe someone's going to get it eventually. If I keep reminding you, maybe it's going to sink in at some point. I don't know if you have non-Christian friends or family. If you don't, you should. You should go and hang out with them. You should start to understand what they need. You can start to tie it in. It doesn't mean you have to tie it in with a sermon and an altar call. It just means there's a way to tie in Scripture. You can get creative. You can get concise. You can start to have compassion when you start to feel where they're at. You can start to, okay, I think I can figure out where the gospel fits in here. If you can't see it, you'll never share it. If you can't see how the gospel fits into that life, you'll never be able to share it. How does the gospel fit in when someone's lost their job? Someone's walking through challenges with their in-home, with their family, with their brokenness, with just walking through depression or just seeing trying times, walking through death or sickness. How does the gospel fit in? If you don't know, you should pray about that. Let God reveal it to you because He will. He talked to His disciples all the time about this. Why wouldn't He want to talk to you about it? He wants to tell you, here's where I'd go with that one. Here's what I'd do. Make it short, take it easy. Starts with compassion. It's good to know it starts with compassion. Sometimes we show up and we feel like we need to give a message, but we don't actually care about the person we're giving the message to. And Jesus starts in this place and says, I care about these people. Because of that, there's a message they need to hear. Worship team, you can come up and join me. I was just at a Foursquare conference. By the way, this Foursquare conference, it was an international one. There was 150 countries represented there. People who are doing ministry in different countries. The first person that I met on the van to this place, the first person that I met was this guy who's doing ministry in Pakistan. And he said 1 week ago, before he showed up, a suicide bomber came and blew up in the church right down on the same block as them. Crazy things going on there. And he's sitting there at this conference and we're able to pray together and just like, I'm hearing about this and think, this is wild. The gospel is in these places that we hear about on the news and moving and changing and empowering people. It's incredible. Another story of this missionary who went away and into Cambodia. And when he showed up at Cambodia, there wasn't much going on. They showed up there. They'd been 18 years. Now there's 5,000 churches under their leadership somewhere. And 80% of the Christians in Cambodia are Foursquare Christians. People who are from our denomination. Because of this one couple that got sent. It's wild to think of what God can do through people. It's incredible to think about that. But one of the things that really hit me is there's this guy named Bob Goff. Has anyone heard of Bob Goff? All right. I'm teaching you a lot today. Now you know. Storybook Bible and Bob Goff. Bob Goff was this, he's this great guy. I was excited to hear about him, or to see him, because I've read some books and I've really liked who he is. And he's all about the Christian life being about going and doing something with the love that's in your heart. And so he talked about this simple story. I just wanted to share it with you because I think it's good for us to think about the gospel and the kingdom as being simple. And he walked out of the airport. And there's a limo waiting for him. And he says, I've never sat in a limo. So I jumped in the limo. That's great. And so he's talking to the guy. They're talking about faith. He shares that he's a Christian with this guy. This guy tells him that he's about to retire not long. He's been living with his girlfriend for a long time. He's not excited about life. And things aren't going well. But he's going to retire soon anyways. And so Bob says, I could have sort of said, well, you shouldn't live with your girlfriend. And what are you thinking you're doing? And let's get some correction. And you can pray for forgiveness, repent. But instead he says, hey, have you ever driven in the back here? And the guy's like, no, I'm not allowed to get in the back. And he says, pull over. And the limo pulls over. And Bob's like, I'm going to drive this thing. You're retiring in 1 month. Let's just, you sit in the back. I'll put on your hat and I'll drive me to the conference. And so he gets in the car and he's driving. He's like, I'm driving the car. I love how he speaks. If I could speak like him, it'd be good. But They get in the car, they drive all the way, and the guy's sitting back there like, I can't believe I'm doing this. This is wild. I'd get fired. And Bob's like, if you get fired, you only got 4 weeks. Like, it's fine. And they pull up to the place, and Bob gets out of the car, and this guy gets out of the car. And Bob has these things that he carries around. They look like sticky notes, but he calls them badges or medals. And he starts putting badges on him. He says, you're courageous. You're bold. You're brave. You're exciting. You're passionate. I loved hearing this from Bob. I loved hearing how the gospel actually makes life feel better, actually gives life to people. This guy knew that he was a Christian, and he could have just sat there and said, okay, now that we've had our fun, I want to tell you that you're living life in not a very good way and you should change it all. But he said, what's the difference? Imagine he goes home and tells his girlfriend, another Christian tried to get me saved in the limo. Instead, he goes home and tells his girlfriend, a Christian came into my limo. I've never felt so empowered to live life. I've never felt so excited about who I could become. I've never felt so excited about what God's made me into. I've never been so excited about that. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great if that was the gospel we preached? Wouldn't it be great if the people that you work with, instead of seeing a Christian who always tries to change them and always tries to fix them and tell them what they're doing wrong and feels like death being around, wouldn't it be great instead if you start putting badges on your coworkers? It's funny. It's funny. That's part of it. You just put it on like, hey, just so you know, you are stupendous. You know, like, you are incredible. I haven't practiced my badges yet. Don't have the best names yet. But you start to say how Jesus sees them. Wouldn't it be good to draw people back into the original design? Jesus has called every person into something incredible. Hasn't he? Hasn't Jesus put something in everyone? Hasn't he put a gifting in everyone? Don't we know that about people, that they have a plan for their lives because Jesus has a plan for their lives? Wouldn't it be great to return them to that place? Wouldn't it be great to return them to the place where God has a plan? He's got life for you, and it will be found in Christ, because the kingdom is here, and the kingdom is in that limo, and the kingdom is in your workplaces, and the kingdom is in your homes and in the families that you haven't got along with, and the kingdom is in the forgiveness when you go to that neighbor, when you go to that ex whatever. The kingdom comes and brings life. We have no right to communicate a kingdom that doesn't bring life. We can't communicate a kingdom without the character of Christ. He's got to be in us. He's got to be living in us. If today you feel like I've been communicating a kingdom and it's been purely about judgment and harshness, Jesus says, get up. There's still life in you too. You're not lost. There's still life in you too. There's still something good. But go and share it with people. I'd love if people started coming into the church because I don't know about Jesus yet, but I sure know there's life around here. I sure know there's something exciting around here. I sure know there's something good. Those people will start to know Jesus, because we can't be good without the good Father. We can't be loving without the love that Jesus puts in us. We love because He first loved us. This is our Bible, it says it. Jesus wants us to be that way, and when the kingdom comes, life will be given to those around us. Let's all close our eyes for a moment. I just want you to take a moment with Jesus. I can't speak a message on life and now make this feel like death to you, but I want you just to take a moment and just think about, instead of what you haven't done right, instead start to think about the great things that you could offer to the workplace that you're in. Maybe to the harmful situation that you're in, the situation that's not great right now. How could you offer life to that? To your coworkers, to your family, to that team that you're on, to that club that you're a part of. How could you bring the life of Jesus there? It's in you to give. It's in you. It's in you. Jesus, thank you that you have made us to carry your blessing to this world. Your original plan when you talked to the Israelites, you'll be a kingdom of priests. Kingdom of people who carry the blessing of Jesus to the world. Kingdom of people who carry out your love and your life for this world. Who carry out the blessing that Jesus Christ brought. Even Jesus, when he came into situations, didn't always start with repent for the kingdom of heaven is near. He first showed them that the kingdom of heaven was near. And it heals sickness. And it heals brokenness. And it restores broken relationships. Thank you, Lord, that you started writing testimonies before you even spoke to people. Let us be that kind of Christian. Let us be that kind of Christian to people around us. We want to know your life so we can give your life. Teach us how, Lord. Teach us how to do that. Let us give badges wherever we go. Lord, let us not see the plank or the sawdust in someone else's eye when we've got a plank in our own. Instead, let us see the life that you have in every person. Jesus, when we stop believing that, then we stop having purpose on this planet. Let us believe that you have life in every single person. I pray that we would call it out of them. We'd see people becoming more of who you've called them to be because we're in their lives. And because of that, people will see you, Jesus. We know that you give. Let us give. Freely we have received. Let us freely give. Let us be creative. Let us be compassionate. Let us be concise when we need to. And let us be consistent in the way that we love and speak life into others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're here today and you say, I don't actually know about that life. I don't know about that kingdom. Next week, we're going to get to the place where we're talking about being born again and seeing the kingdom in a new way and being able to see life with a different perspective. But if today you say, I just want that kingdom in my life, I want to know what that means for me. We have Pastor Ken and Eunice will be over at the side here, and you can meet with them. And we have a few people who would love to pray with you. And they'd just love to say, guess what? He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He has life for you. He believes in you more than I ever could, more than anyone in here ever could. He wants you to live the fullest life that you can live. The kingdom is later, and it's here. The kingdom is now and not yet. So now receive life and believe for life everlasting. We love you all. We really do. We really expect that God's going to do something great in your lives this week. Maybe you show up next week for me to speak long to someone because you've given them a concise message. And that would be great. We'd love for them. We'll make room. If we fill up these chairs, we'll make room. Bring them out. We love you. Have a great week. The worship team's going to lead us in a song here.